I guess what distinguishes Creole from English and why a linguist would call it a separate language, part of that is to do with the idea that it's called mutual intelligibility. So if you're someone who only speaks English and doesn't know any Creole, and you're eavesdropping on a conversation amongst a group of Creole speakers, it's very unlikely you will understand what that conversation is about. So that immediately is a sign that, well, if I don't understand what they're saying, they must be speaking a different language. So that's really the case with Creole and English. Even though a lot of it's based on English, it's different enough from English that you don't get this mutual understanding when someone is speaking heavy, ordinary Creole if you're only an English speaker.
Well, perhaps this is an opportunity now for Angelina to give me an example of something in Creole.
Okay, I'll see if she's up to that.
Okay.
My name is Bara, and me Jeranabar Dere La Capital and Royal College, and Mala Tumba Creole training in English. My name is Angelina Joshua, and I'm here at Catherine Rule College. We are doing Creole training.
So tell me about the Creole and Contact Languages workshop that you've been coordinating. What are the practical outcomes that you've seen?
So this workshop that we've got on this week at the Rural College, it's bringing together people from a number of those communities. So we've got representatives here from Mokor, Tennant Creek, Elliot, Barunga, Lajamanu, Kalkarindji and Kununurra. A lot of those places are working for language centres or doing work as part of university projects. And really we're coming together so we can share what we're all doing in our different projects, because it is across a large area. We're getting more ideas on to take our projects further, getting some training, and using this opportunity for all these people who do speak different, slightly different kinds of Creole, to see what are the differences between all those different places that we've got represented here.
When you mention training, what kind of training is that?
We've done training on literacy aspects. So Creole does have its own writing system, which some people know and some people are comfortable with and others don't. So we've looked at reading Creole and how to write down the different ways that people do speak Creole. We've looked at how to make good recordings that are sort of at a good standard that we can use in research, so developing the capacity of community research assistants to make recordings, put those recordings onto computers and start to transcribe and translate them. So getting community members really involved in the sort of work that gets done through universities with research on these languages. And so how to carry out interviews and do presentations to show the different aspects of these Creole and contact languages in each different community.
I understand that census data can be a bit misleading, particularly in more remote communities, but can you estimate how many Creole speakers there are now and perhaps describe the pattern of Creole uptake?
So estimations are that there's probably around 20 to 30,000 people in Northern Australia, that's across Northern Territory and Kimberleys in Western Australia, who are Creole speakers or speakers of different dialects of Creole. There's another population in the Torres Strait who also speak a different kind of Creole that they usually call Yumplatwork, and that's a different Creole again in the Torres Strait, so that's not including those guys.
Would that be a dialect in effect, a dialect of Creole?
No, not the Torres Strait one. It's different enough that it's a separate language again from the Creole spoken on the mainland in Northern Territory in Western Australia. Even though there are some similarities, they're not terribly closely related.
Well, you've mentioned what parts of Australia are speaking Creole today. Can you mention communities?
So Angelina, who you just spoke to, she's from a community called Mokor, or as most white people call it, Noka, also called Roper River, used to be the Roper River Mission. So that's east of Catherine. So across the Catherine region, where you've got Noka, Barunga, where there's Barunga Festival, Borroloola, some people speak Creole there, and then across to the west, where Kalkarindji, where the famous Wave Hill Walk-Off is, some people there are speaking their traditional language that's mixed in with Creole, so that's where you wouldn't quite call it Creole, but Creole is definitely a factor there. And then across to Kununurra, Halls Creek, Fitzroy Crossing, and parts of Creole are stretching right down to Tennant Creek.
I imagine there is some resistance, to Creole as an emerging language when there's been so much focus on the loss and the preservation of traditional languages.
Yeah, the attitudes towards Creole do vary as well. I think what is shared across everywhere is that traditional languages are very important and they're usually held in very high regard and they're more prestigious. But in some places, Creole sits alongside those traditional languages just fine, and there's no shame in saying you're a Creole speaker, and it's not a language anyone feels too embarrassed about speaking or using in the classroom and that sort of thing. But and it just varies from place to place. So some places they might not feel so, not necessarily proud of Creole, but a little bit uncomfortable with the fact that Creole is only a new language and it has, to some, to different degrees, replaced the traditional languages. It does vary just from community to community in that regard.
For policymakers in education, what changes would you like to see? I'm guessing education programs that take into account a student's first language may actually be in Creole, for example.
Yeah, well, one of the first steps is just to raise the awareness of Creole and what the language is like. I mean, in some areas, there is just a misunderstanding that it is an inferior form of English, perhaps, or maybe people do know that Creole exists but don't know much about it. So I think one step is awareness raising and for more people to understand a bit about these languages that are spoken across such a wide area. And then I guess the next question is, well, what to do with that? How can we include those languages in different workplaces, in classrooms? How can we get people who speak Creole as a first language into domains like local government or working in hospitals, developing interpreting services for Creole, that sort of thing? So I guess all, this work all contributes to how we can raise the profile and understanding of these languages.